It's my great pleasure to be here for this wonderful conference, and so many people here, and we got so many exciting results. And today I'm going to show you some interesting. I'm going to show you some interesting results derived from this so-called tensor product state approach to a strongly correlated system. And you know, the spinquid is the main focus of the workshop. But as originally proposed by Phil Anderson, I think this spinquid aim at solving this high TC problem, or double the model insulator. So I also want to show you some interesting results from this method. If we dope the system, dope a multi-insulate. So I'd like to thank my collaborator. Most of them are here. And here are some relevant reference. These two references is about the result I'm going to talk today. And these references just for some introduction for the algorithm. So I'm not going to for details for the algorithm, just give you some brief introduction about the method and show you some interesting results. So at the beginning, I will remind you that Landau paradigm and its failure for topological phases. And then I introduce what is the tensor product state variation approach. And yeah, indeed, it's not interesting in the numerical side, but also analytically, we're able to build a new paradigm to understand the strongly correlated system, especially with topological order. Then I show two interesting examples. This is J1, J2 Heisenberg model on square lattice, and the TJ or Hubbard model on honeycomb lattice. Of course, in this case, I will focus on the doped case. The previous talk, there are lots of discussion about the undoped case. OK, finally, it's a summary and outlook. And as we know, the symmetry breaking is kind of very powerful paradigm for modern condensed matter physics. And also, it's originally from this like a classical transition from ice to water. And also, if we replace this kind of temperature fluctuation as quantum fluctuation, we also understand the magnetic order system in spin system, or both Einstein condensation in cold atom. And another paradigm actually is this very interesting variational wave function. Behind this kind of symmetry breaking principle. So actually, the variational approach is very simple. Just assume that it's a direct product state, and you have U up as the order parameter, U down order parameter, and you simply just insert into your like Hamiltonian. So here I'm going to show it's a transverse IC model. So you get two like phase, this disorder phase and the ordered phase. So although you know the phase boundary maybe still differ from the quantum Monte Carlo, but at qualitative level it's very good because give you the right topology of the phase diagram, right? So that's the main kind of focus we want to. Going to talk here, what kind of phase diagram we can get for generic strongly correlated system. Yeah, we also know that the like this critical field and the beta exponent could be still different from the Monte Carlo result, but qualitative level is still good. So such kind of mean field theory can also be generalized into Fermat system. So basically, we have a kind of energy level filling picture, and we are very successful to deal with matter, superconductor, semiconductor, binding insulator, also integer quantum hole, and the BCS superconductivity. So, yeah, in this picture, for example, if we want to generalize to this BCS superconductivity, we just introduce this concept of quasi-particle, and we can transform this pairing wave function into some filling kind of slater determinant wave function for quasi particle, and we can solve the superconductivity. Okay, so that's the tool we have for the very traditional condensed matter. But what's new in modern condensed matter? So the most striking example is the fractional quantum Hall effect. And later it was solved by Bob Laughlin by proposing his famous wave function here. So the underlying picture is that in this system, the electron want to attach some flux to a lower energy and form a condensate. But such a wave function cannot be fit into any kind of Landau paradigm, and it's obvious not an energy level feeding picture. Of course, such kind of exotic phase can be generalized to like the Kagome Heisenberg model, taught by first discovered by Steve White here. And also, people have long conjecture. It's also might be relevant to high TC. So the underlying variational wave function is the so-called resonant invariance bound state, so kind of a superposition of some singlet pairs. So such kind of state also beyond the Landau paradigm. Okay, so what's the essential things here? And we may also ask, what's the most general variational wave function we need to describe such kind of topological phenomena? Because here, you know, we have a particular wave function for this case and that case, but what's the most general paradigm? So let me just briefly conclude what's the main and important point for topological phases, as first proposed by Xiaogang here. So first, they can have the same symmetry as this other phase, and also there's no long-range correlation. But this is a kind of mathematical statement. It's hard to be examined in a lab, but mathematically and numerically, we can still check. If you put the system on the torus or sphere, you get a different degeneracy. So this is a very striking property, differ from the traditional kind of symmetry breaking order. And this is the most important part. The ground state degeneracy is very stable, and that's why it might be useful for photolerance quantum computation. And also, these kind of excitations, carry fractional statistics can be observed in a lab. And for some kind of system, there's even chiral edge modes. Okay, so we know that Landau paradigm fails to describe such kind of system. So as I mentioned, what's the most general wave function can incorporate both kind of orders. And we further want to explore what's the nature of such kind of topological phase transition. It's obvious beyond the symmetry breaking. And this is a long-term goal. What's the paradigm behind this? And today, I'm just going to show, try to answer this first question. So we try to propose this so-called tensor product state variational approach. So let me just show you what's the tensor product state. So let me just draw some graph to explain this in an easy way. So like this mean field theory, as I mentioned before, for this spin 1/2 system, we have all the parameter u up and all the parameter u down. So what's the wave function? It's just a product of this order parameter, right? It's just a product of a complex number. So in this picture, there's no correlation between this individual point. So for each site, you just have a complex number, and you just product them, you get a mean field wave function. So the improvement of this mean field wave function, first invented by Steve White here, is the very powerful DMRG method we discuss a lot in this workshop. And the underlying ansatz is called the matrix product state. So the idea is just that you simply replace this complex number to some matrix. So you can imagine your order parameter is a matrix instead of a complex number. Then you do a matrix product along this so-called for different sites. So here I just draw this picture to represent the indices. So the horizontal leg represented this so-called internal indices, which is the Coulomb and the row indices of the matrix. And this vertical indices stick out, represents this physical state, right? So it could be choose as up or down. So we have to basically have two matrix, A up or A down. And for any given Ising configuration, we just product of all these matrix. And then we get a number. Because if we consider periodic boundary condition, we close this two side. And open boundary condition, we just fix some indices on both sides. So then we get a number. So the number is a wave function, right? So what's this kind of picture in high dimension? So it's very easy. You just think about you have more legs stick out. So like on this square lattice geometry, we not only have left and right, but also have up and down. But we have this vertical leg stick out. Could it be spin up or spin down? So basically, we have two tensors, T up or T down. Then in this picture, again, if I connect this these leg, it means I sum over indices. So you can imagine a periodic boundary condition. You kind of connect all the in-plane lines, so sum over all the internal indices. And for any given Ising configuration, we fix all these M1, M2, M3, and M4, we get a number. So that's a wave function defined in this way. But yeah, we may wonder why such kind of wave function is useful. So the purpose here is not only increase the number of variational parameter. As we know, if we increase the number of variational parameter, we of course can optimize energy much better than mean field theory. But the important point is that it's not a simply quantitatively improvement, but also qualitatively can capture some new phases, so the so-called topological phases. So let me just show you a very simple example. So this Torrey code. It is the simplest kind of topological phases we discussed usually. And this Hamiltonian contains two terms. So this vertex term and a Plaquette term. The vertex term is just a multiplication of four sigma z around these vertices. So the model is defined a link of the square lattice. And this Plaquette term, just a multiplication of four sigma x. So it's easy to check this. These two terms, they commute, right? Because sigma z and sigma x and commute, but the overlap is always even, so they commute. When u and t, they're positive, we always solve the first constraint first. To solve the first constraint, then we just introduce a very simple picture. So this picture, we map no string configuration to spin up and one string configuration to spin down. Then we show if we want to satisfy this constraint, which means we pick up the low energy state for this term, we just remove these configurations because they have all the number of downs being surrounded and will cause energy here. So in this picture, we just very nicely to say that all the low energy subspace just formed by closed loop. And then we examine what's the second term. It's actually just a create kind of this small loop surrounding the Plaquette. And if there's another loop connected to this, you just increase this loop. It become larger or small. So then you may imagine the ground state wave function just equal with the superposition of all possible closed loop state. And it's easy to understand why we get a topological degeneracy, because you can think about there's a global stream ramping around the torus, and there's no way to destroy this, right? Through this local string kind of larger or small deformation. Okay. So furthermore, if you cut this kind of a string, you can show the end of string actually is quasi-particle. Okay, so now let me show you how to use a tensor, a local tensor, to encode such kind of looks like a non-local state. Actually, the method is very easy. So here, because the model defined on the link of the square lattice, so we need a two set of tensors. So one tensor is a rank 4 tensor defined on this vertex. It's a T tensor, we call it, which has 4 lag. And the other tensor just a matrix, actually just because we only have 2 lag, right? So basically rank 2 tensor just a matrix. But this rank 2 tensor carry physical indices because we have physical degree of freedom on this link. So we have G up or G down. But G up and G down is very simple. You know, this matrix is just a 2x2 matrix. And this tensor also, the range of the indices is just 0, 1, also just the rank dimension 2 tensor. So in this matrix, we just map this kind of spin up configuration to 0 means no string. 0, 1 means actually one string or no string. So it's kind of just this string map. And the G down to one string. OK, so just the map between string and spin. OK, then what's this T? This T actually just implemented this closed string kind of constraint, right? Because when alpha plus beta plus gamma plus delta, it's even, it's 1, otherwise it's 0. Then we just make a tensor trace of this tensor network state, so which means we kind of sum over all the internal indices when we fix this Ising configuration, which is up or down. So this M1, M2 just up or down. Then it's natural to say that to see that any configuration do not form a closed loop, the amplitude just a 0. So it's kind of project out all the kind of state do not satisfy the constraint. Okay. So in general, we can show that a very generic class of topological phases can also be precisely presented in such a local way. So that's why this method may be powerful in general. Okay, and we can also have a very nice teleportation picture from quantum information, because we can regard these data in this way. We start from a so-called parent state, so this initial state. Initial state is just a very simple product state of some kind of dimer, you know, just this so-called teleportation pair formed by this small blue two small blue dots. And this large blue square is actually defined a physical state. And on this physical state, we define so-called project. This project map this internal states into physical states. So as I mentioned, this M is the physical state. So what's the meaning of this tensor? The tensor in general is just a projector, right? So such a construction is just a kind of very natural generalization of this slew particle construction, because we just put a local projection here on each side. But this projection can be very general. It's not necessary just a projector to like one particle, two particle state. It can be very, very general. Okay, then we also understand why in principle we can have area law and get some substitution, because in general, if we don't do any projection, of course, we cut this maximal internal state and we get area law. And we put a projection, if it's not an injective map, we get some substitution, so we get this constant kind of correction. And for this simplest toric code, the picture is very easy, because if we plot a region A and B, this inside and outside of this circle, and always cut an even number of loop, right? So this kind of constraint on this boundary, then that's why we get this log two substitution, because if without this constraint, we can each cut can be up or down, means one string or no string. But here with this global constraint, we even have even number of cut, even number of up or down string, right? So that's the reason why such kind of tensor product state is very useful for topological phases. Okay. Now, let me show you some real kind of calculation from this method, but I'm not going to talk about algorithm. Okay, so in this real calculation, we add a small magnetic field in this toric code model, because if without this term, just exact solvable model and no dynamics. Okay, if we add this term, it's not exact solvable, and if we, this kind of just the punishment of the longer string, right? It's an energy punishment. And if H large, there's no loop. It's a confinement phase. And if it's small, it's a deconfinement phase. We get a many, many loop superposition. And we should expect a non-Ginzburg-Langlois type phase transition somewhere. So when we perform this tensor product approach, we get a phase transition close to 3.1, and actually very close to the quantum and color result, because this model, although it's beyond the Ginzburg-Langlois transition, there's no sign problem, and we can apply the Monte Carlo method. Okay, so yeah, mean field theory, of course, there's no way to solve this. So the TPS shows a very good result. Okay, so now let me go to this really challenging problem, this possible spin liquid state in this J1, J2 Heisenberg model. So most people here may be familiar about this very kind of classical model. This model, we have two terms, J1 term with antiferromagnetic coupling, and J2 term, the diagonal term. And classically, if J1 is very large, we get a neo phase, and J2 is very large, we get a collinear phase. And if we do some mean field like calculation, we find a first order transition at this point, 0.5. But there's a long kind of argument. The region here may be exotic, and maybe some spin liquid or other state emerge. But there's a kind of debate that the VBS state may be also relevant in this region. So how do we know the competing effect of these two possibilities? So to perform such kind of calculation, because we need to also put the competing effect of VBS state here, we design tensor with kind of 2x2 structure, which means we have four different tensors instead of a uniform tensor. So in this case, we can also describe the VBS, right, state, but we can also describe the, of course, the spin liquid state. Okay. Here I show you this ground state energy as a function of J2 and over J1, and for many different sizes, we should perfectly agree with the other unbiased method. And here we further benchmark with the best variational Monte Carlo state and our energy right below their results. And now let's look at the magnetization, and we do some like finite D scaling and one over L scaling for this magnetization. So here I just show you the maximal D we use. We see that around 0.5, this magnetization die, and in this region, maybe there's a spin liquid state. But if D is small, we measure this VBS order, we find some VBS order parameter, and it kind of predict a Coulomb VBS state. But once we increase this D larger than 5, we find all these VBS order parameter vanish, and kind of predicts a spin liquid state. Then we examine the if it's a gap spin liquid state, we should be able to some topological entropy. So as people discussed in previous talks, it represented by the intersection of this area law. So we get some non-zero intersection, but not as universal as the DMRG result. So here might be, I think we use the torus calculation. So might be there's more stronger finite size effect. And we also measure the correlation function in this spinocular region. The spin-spin correlation and the diamond-diamond correlation of them are exponential decay. Okay, now, I almost finished. I just switched to this interesting Hubbard model by applying this method. This method can be easily generalized into Fermion system. And I'm focused on this strong coupling limit. And in this case, the interesting thing is that it is a multi insulator with AF ordering and half feeding. If U is very large, and we may guess it might be a superconductor if we double the system. And also interesting that in the intermediate region, might be there's a spin liquid. And finally, I will show you some possible realistic material can realize this Hubbard model. Okay, so this is a calculation. In the larger limit, we can reduce this model to the so-called standard TJ model with a ratio like T over equal to 3J means U over T equal to 12. So we benchmark the ground state energy at half feeding, well consistent with the quantum mechanical result. And at large doping, we find that also consistent with the unbiased DMRG result on small cluster and ED result. If we increase this D, they systematically collapse on this curve. And if we look at the magnetization, it dies around like 10%. And at half feeding, if we increase this, D also agree with the quantum mechanical result. So here is some like a cutoff dimension I introduced in the simulation. Basically this is an approximate simulation. So here I show you the error bar that I get for this ground state energy. Okay. So the most important question is it a superconductor? So the answer is yes. And actually we find a D plus ID a superconductor here. And interestingly, in the very low doping region, we also find it coexists with antiferromagnetic ordering, and introduce this P plus IP pairing as well. And the neo vector is antiparallel with the D vector. Okay. So finally, let me show you what's the larger U limit, because last year there's a calculation for the infinite U limit Hubbard model on a square lattice, and it shows that below 20% is the so-called this half metallic Fermi surface, or the equivalent to the Nagoya ferromagnetic state. So what happened on the high con lattice? It's interesting that we found that such kind of Nagoya state is essentially unstable, and we end up with a P plus IP superconductor. So this state almost fully polarized. We may ask whether is this because of pairing instability of Nagoya ferromagnetic, and the mechanism might be beyond BCS. And we further examine this larger U, but still finite U means small J, but still finite J. And we find the ground state energy perfectly agree with the DMRG result. But interestingly, we find that this P plus IP order parameter decrease a lot when we increase in D. And it looks like for the infinite D limit, it vanish. So that might be indicated some non-Fermi liquid state if we turn on this small J. Okay. So, but we can still stabilize such kind of state when apply magnetic field. So in practical, we can still be able to get such kind of state. Okay. So let me just show you the real material, this indium vanadium copper oxide, which formed this hexagon lattice. And if we dope it, maybe we can find such kind of interesting phenomena. OK, let me just the conclusion. The traditional mean field approach is based on the single particle picture and use them related to mathematical so-called group theory. And the tensor product state actually is it's kind of the simplest way beyond the single particle picture. And actually, the three particle process is important. And the mathematics behind this is the tensor category theory. And it can describe this long-range entanglement, which characterize topological phases. So TPS are possible unbiased variational state to study gapped quantum system. And as an example, I show you this possible spin liquid for J1J2 squared lattice model and a possible chiral superconductivity in this Hubbard model on Honeycomb lattice. Thank you.
So what was the, did you try to do the square lattice? Is there a problem doing the dope Hubbard model on the square lattice?
On the square lattice, yeah, I'm doing the simulation, but I did not find a uniform D-wave superconductivity in the TJ model. So I'm still pushing the numerical limit to see whether I can get a uniform D-wave superconductor. But I also want to check a Hubbard model. Maybe it's some difference between Hubbard and TJ model. But for Honeycomb lattice, I checked basically I get the same D plus ID superconductivity.
But what do you get on the square lattice? Maybe TJ model is not a D-wave superconductor.
Right, it's possible. I get some interesting data I can tell you maybe later, yeah.
So you stated in your slide that the TPS are possible unbiased variational state to study gapped quantum systems.
Right,
so
right.
Does it mean that the Nagaoka ferromagnetism is beyond the reach of the TPS formalism?
Yeah, it's a Fermi surface. So in principle, for thermodynamic limit, the TPS have the problem because we really need to push this infinite D limit to get that state. But I think for finite size, this is still not a bigger problem. This Fermi surface has entropy scale as log L, but this approximately just scale as log D. So if we think about 10 by 10, maybe it keep up to 10 is enough. Yeah, the truncation error actually here, we have two truncation errors. So one is the dimension of the tensor. So dimension of the tensor, like here, I can push maximal to be 14. But also, there's another error to calculate this Gwangse energy. So I show you there's a D cut because I performed this renormalization-based method to estimate this energy. So it's not like a DMRG, the energy is precise. In high dimension, there's no way to get a precise energy. Yeah. So, but approximately, I can show you like this D cut. If I choose different D cut, all the energy curves still collapse.
Some more questions? About craving for the meal? So, thank you very much.
One more question. So, I wonder whether you can try to simulate gapless phases using this kind of method by adding some non-local links in your tensor networks.
That's a very interesting direction. I think Guifri did some kind of attempting, and this so-called branch mirror can capture the gapless phase. But here, I think in this TPS, it's kind of hard because if you add a long-range long-range lag, it's not a planar graph, and if you do this approximate contraction, could be very hard. Yeah, the cost could be very high. So, but I don't think gapless is not it's a big problem because we did this J1J2 calculation, and at a critical point, if we do finite size calculation with periodic boundary condition, we do see some power law behavior. If we, for example, we calculate some 32 by 32, because this scale D is not an increase very quickly as we increase system size. So we can still do some finite system size with finite B and then do some kind of extrapolation.
If you do very much, you eventually go to the Fermi liquid state, and then at ground state, how actually can you determine your wave function give you a Fermi liquid, or you have to compare with some other complementary, I mean some other numerical method?
Yeah, this method works not so well at a large doping. You see that the deviation from the exact result become much larger and larger when you increase doping. So yeah, you see, that's kind of a complementary method to the like a DMFT, which is close to, works better close to Fermi liquid, I think. I think in future it's possible to develop some hybridized method that maybe can good for both cases. So that's the ambitious goal.
We close this session for this morning, and we are due to a 2 this afternoon in the same room.